Blog Talk Radio.
Well, aloha, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to NXT 8 years back. I'm Kelly Wells. I am your host.
And that's not the name of this show.
It's not. It's not. But I feel like I watched this episode of NXT 8 years ago, for all that I remember it. I was in the room, eyes on the screen, watching this show. Did not remember a lot of it. This show might actually be called PWT Talks NXT. I'm almost sure of it now, because that's the only other show I do. Stuff happened. I'm sure of that. We have a new North American champion, so that's worth talking about. My brain is relatively glazed over from a day where I had to see a whole lot of people pretend that they really care about Jinder Mahal and Hook more than they do. Don't hinder Jinder. We don't often book Hook. Is that the rhyme?
I don't know, but I like it.
And you got Tony out there like, hey, look at his record. And I'm like, it's wrestling. You're supposed to be able to make somebody a viable challenger no matter what they've been doing. That's why most wrestling companies throughout time have ignored win-loss records. It's just crazy every time wrestling fans can latch onto something and look dumb, they do. Every single time they have the opportunity to jump in and make the worst series of takes you've ever seen in your life, they do. I have hidden so many Twitter accounts of wrestling fans and like wrestling would-be influencers. Like, I've hidden a lot of them. And I'm just like, how am I still seeing so many bad takes?
So is that why you don't like any of my stuff?
You're different because I hear your bad takes in first. It's why, guys. I don't know. Let's talk about NXT. So
yeah, enough about that.
Dragon Lee and Lexus King. This match was made earlier in the night with Ava looking like she's about ready to go out, but she's forgotten her cool top that goes over the shirt and a sweet like Fendi bag. She's getting there. She always looks the way she looks now is like she's almost ready for wherever she's going to go. That is what I think their approach is. Be mostly put together, but not done. I don't get what they're doing with Ava. I don't get it at all.
Wait, you mean like her boyfriend like rushed her out the door type of deal?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Right. I don't understand. As somebody who's done a little work as a casting director, to have this person be your authority figure, and then that to be the costuming attack, I don't get it. But whatever, they're doing what they're doing. Dragon Lee
real quick, as a casting director, she reminded me of someone that was cast in Romeo Must Die, those opening scenes in a nightclub, just some early 2000s maybe style there.
Yeah. She's definitely a good enough actor to be an extra in a kung fu movie. That's exactly how good she is at acting. I might actually rant a lot tonight. I didn't know that I was going to do that, but here we are.
I was just thinking, I'm like, Kelly's already gone off the rails tonight. And we're like 5 minutes into the show.
Should I have done this? I almost didn't do the show just because I was just like, had a focus problem. Whatever. Dragon Lee, Lexus King. I thought Lexus King was going to win this match. But the only reason I thought this is because it doesn't make sense for Dragon Lee to be holding this title when he's clearly not really there anymore. If Wesley had won this, he would have held it for a while. But Wesley got hurt. When Dragon Lee won, I was a little surprised. I thankfully was not watching the clock because then I may have actually figured out what was going to happen. Obafemi cashes in and wins wins the North American title, wins the championship very shortly into his time on TV, at least since his in-ring portion has started. Kind of like the fast-tracking here. I'm a fan of this, and I think Obafemi could justify this lightning-quick push. Bruce Lee on Dragon Lee's pair of matches and Obafemi being rocket-strapped.
Yeah, so I like matches where there's a feeling up process, a lot of grappling. The very first part of this match was like that. Part of the crowd did not appreciate that, and they actually started booing, which I thought was just a tad uncouth for a crowd that generally is more appreciative of what they see in the ring. So that aside, I thought it was a perfectly solid match. It wasn't a great match, but it was better than what we've seen from Legend King in the past. And it's not surprising that Dragon Lee will, you know, be able to get that kind of a match out of Lexus King. I thought, as opposed to in the past, he did have a few spots that looked a bit clunky, but at least one of those was by design. I thought King here looked more, maybe not say confident, but he looked more apt in the ring tonight than he has in the past, to me, while I was doing my report. And then Dragon Lee, of course, is just Dragon Lee. I do feel like, again, the ending felt a bit abrupt, and it seems to be a theme in Dragon Lee matches lately, is that the end just seems to come a little bit randomly, in my opinion. More time to build, and it just kind of comes. Here, it did make sense why it happened. Maybe they felt like, they saw the time, they thought, oh, we need to get to the ending here quick. So I felt like the Operation Dragon this time just really just came out of nowhere, because it felt like it came out of the spot right after they had a little bit of a back and forth or something. Moving on to the Obafemi thing, like, just not, you know, just to steal a phrase from Kelly, but not to be too maudlin about it, you're just going to hear me say, just gush about Obafemi for the time being. And I'm ready for Obafemi to dominate 2024. I think the fact that he has been thrust to a championship shortly after winning the breakout tournament, while Vice still has hers and they've been teasing it but still hasn't cashed in, I think says a lot about where they see Femi fitting in right now into the division and how they view his development. And I mean, just his power offense alone is something that is very different than what we see in NXT right now. And the air that he got when he tossed the lead both times, the belly to back toss and then the powerbomb at the end, just amazing. And so I'm really ecstatic for him and happy to see what he does moving forward. I really don't care if he's a good promo or not, because today, tonight in that backstage segment with Lexus King, after he said he was going to the main event with Dragon Lee, you know, about the contract, his deadpan goes, "That's going to be the main event." That made me laugh so hard tonight. So I'm all for Obafemi right now. I'm really glad to see him get thrust so quickly into a prominent spot on NXT.
Yeah, it's funny that we've got a new North American champion who just won the breakout tournament, and we don't totally know if he's a face or heel. Like, we can make some guesses, but they can still do with him what, like, I don't know who his next feud is going to be, because I don't know necessarily where they see him. And right now he's cool, and that's the only thing that's important, because you kind of can't teach cool. You can make a kind of cool guy more cool, but you can't take an uncool guy and make him cool. And Obafemi is he's real cool. Nate.
No, he is. I think you're going to hear all three of us gushing quite a bit about Obafemi in the near future. Hopefully for quite some time. I'm going to be honest. I didn't necessarily see this coming. I didn't think he was going to cash in quite this soon. And I know, you know, we had a little bit of foreshadowing earlier in the night where he talked about, you know, cashing in. And I think in that segment, he even brought up something about the North American title when he was backstage talking with, I think it was Kelly Kincaid. I think he even brought something up about that. So there was a little bit of foreshadowing there, I think. But I'll be honest, I didn't see it coming. And like Kelly said earlier, I'm glad I wasn't looking at the time, because it was only 3 past the hour. They usually do the 8-minute overrun when Obafemi, like, his music hit and came out. I didn't quite like, I'm like, oh, okay, we got 5 minutes left. Like, we'll see what happens. I also really didn't necessarily – or sorry, I take that back. The one thing that I almost don't like – and this is a small little nitpick, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway because it's something I was thinking about – is the fact that, like, you win this breakout tournament. You've got a contract for any title in NXT, and you go for an undercard title or the mid-card title, right, which – North American title. Not only is it my favorite looking belt in the company right now, I mean, I feel like it's like after Wesley and Carmelo Hayes and everything they did for that title, it's certainly a prestigious title. So I can certainly see why somebody would want to go for it. But you think about it in terms of like an actual combat sport or something like that, right? Like how we're supposed to actually perceive wrestling as fans, the way they want us to. It's like, why wouldn't you just go for the WWE or the NXT title, go for the top title? It almost makes me feel like it's like, okay, I don't trust myself. I don't think I could go for the big one, but I think I could go for the, you know, go for the next one down. And it almost, I don't know if that's going to, if that necessarily sends that same message to other people. Like that's something that I took away from it. But I don't know if other people necessarily going to, you know, pick up on that or think that or what have you. That said, small nitpick, love what they did here. And I think it does make sense. Dragon Lee needs to go back to the main roster. And, you know, I would love to see him back. You know, I would love to see him stay in NXT as North American champion for a while, but whatever, you know, he's making main roster money. He's got to go back to main roster. So we've got to get the title off him. I thought we were going to wind up seeing, Lexus King take the win over Dragon Lee tonight. And that was kind of how it was going to happen. That was what I was really expecting, not necessarily expecting Obafemi to walk away with it, but I'll take it. I really liked in that match that, you know, if you can even really call it a match between Lee and Femi, the Dragon Lee just kind of like, you could tell he slowed down. It almost, he was really like selling the fact that he was tired and I don't know, it just kind of made me buy into that last angle a little bit more and kind of like, oh God, are they actually going to do this? They're going to do this. Obafemi, here we go. And I was pretty pumped about it. So whichever way they go with him, heel or face, I'm there.
It definitely was Kelly Kincaid who was talking to Obafemi, which I know because my wife was extremely enchanted by their size difference. She just thought it was hilarious. For anyone who has not seen this before, Google Kristen Chenoweth and Boban Marjanovic, one of the largest beings in the history of the universe. He doesn't play basketball. What's that?
He butchered the last name.
Marjanovic. He's never been on a team that I followed very closely, but I've seen him on many. I've seen him in many games, and I saw him get killed in John Wick 3. He's out there, and his stuff with Tobias. You know what? I'm going to go
down.
Toby
show.
Bobby and Toby. Yep. That's why I just, you know, you call him just Bobby. It's easier that way. Yeah, that's
I'm
like
a Sixers
the one.
Fan, so of course I know.
Area. Oh, sure. That's the one area of the world where names trip me up. I'm like, this could only sound two different ways. Why don't I say it the wrong way first? and get that out of the way. He and Kristen Chenoweth, it's hard to believe they're the same species. It doesn't look like it's possible that they could be. Okay, let us go to the Dusty Classic. We got even a little bit of a promo for the Dusty Classic. It was a little thing, but I thought it was a really nice touch to put over this tournament, to do a little something with it. And we even had Vic able to announce or to mention one of the past winners that they wouldn't have mentioned until recently because AOP came back. So our first one was Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin versus Gallus. Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin kind of doing a thing where they're heels, but they're silly banter together is almost making the act a face, even though each guy in the act is a heel. So that sort of made this dynamic work, because strangely, on the left side of the bracket, we had heel versus heel and we had face versus face. Breaker and Corbin win this one in 10:53 after end of days. And I mean, you knew they were winning this. And they will face the winners of the other match, Axiom and Nathan Fraser, who beat Hank and Tank. Nathan Fraser pins Hank after 4:44. Yeah, this one was a foregone conclusion. Even if we had not known this, they gave us scenes of the two. They gave us scenes that seemed important of Fraser and Axiom, as well as Breaker and Corbin last week. So kind of giving away what they're going to do with that first round, but whatever. We usually know what they're going to do with that first round anyway, because they don't have that many tag teams worth pushing. And then, before I throw it to you guys, they did also promote Inoue and Blade versus Trick and Mello. We had Brinley Reese brought into this a little bit, giving Inoue and Blade a reason to show their six packs. That's what I took from this scene. Just an excuse to show off the hard bodies here. And we will also get LWO versus Chase U, although we didn't get a real scene for that. So, seems like it'll be Breaker and Corbin versus Trick and Mello, because we certainly haven't seen enough Breaker versus Trick, and we are going to see maybe a little bit more. They mentioned Rhino without mentioning him. That's the one other thing I will say. A guy who also used the spear. Okay. We remember, folks, 8 years
the
back.
The gore! It was
yes.
The gore!
Mm-hmm. All right, so tournament. We haven't seen one of these in well over 6 days, Nate.
No, we haven't. So I'll start with Hank and Tank, because I don't really have a whole heck of a lot to talk about there. You know, the Hank and Tank Axiom and Nathan Fraser match. You know, like I said, I mean, I enjoy Hank and Tank, but they're still lower mid card, rightfully so. They've still got some work to do. And I think it'd be nice if we got to see them on TV a little bit more for them to be able to actually flesh those characters out a bit, but whatever. Axiom, Nathan Fraser, those two, I love them together, whether they're in the ring opposite one another or in a tag team together. So, you know, glad to see them win. And as you said, foregone conclusion, unless they were going to do some weird angle with Hank and Tank, you know, which doesn't really make sense here. You know, you kind of knew going into this match that they were one of the two were either Hank or Tank was going to be staring at the lights by the end of it. The other match, Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin versus Gallus. I'm not going to lie. This, I think, is the first time since Bron Breakker has debuted that I'm actually kind of interested in what he's doing, for a lot of the reasons that Kelly just outlined. He, for what Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker are doing right now, it's the oddball pairing. Well, I wouldn't say oddball pairing but they kind of do like a weird pairing in every Dusty Classic. We talked about it last week. You know, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor being, you know, probably one of the more memorable ones. And so, you know, it's that team there, but their banter back and forth, their chemistry working together is really good. It's probably the most I've actually cared about Baron Corbin in quite some time, you know, and that just happened, you know, between last week and this week. I'm really digging what they're doing. I agree. I think we're probably going to wind up seeing some, you know, Bron Breakker, Baron Corbin, Trick Mello match at some point. I could certainly see that, you know, being the match they build to here. Gallus, man, it's, you know, obviously they needed to lose here, but man, they needed to win here at the same time. you know, we talked about it again, you know, a couple, quite a few times, I know, at this point. But, I mean, Gallus just feels like they've been beat down and beat down and beat down so much where they're not that imposing tag team or stable, I guess, that came out of NXT UK. They're now almost feeling like jobbers, and that's – I don't like that. I think that there's plenty of time and stuff for them to, you know, kind of build out of that and get Gallus kind of back on track. I hope. But because like, man, once, you know, when they finally debuted on the main roster, I had some high hopes for Gallus, but right now they're feeling like lukewarm at best. Yeah, I think that's going to do it for me on the couple tag, dusty tag matches.
Bruce on the classic.
So I think the Breaker Corbin match against Gallus, I think that was a really good match. Solid tag team match. The issue for me a bit is, again, the whole Gallus thing. It's not just lately. I mean, ever since they had the feud with the family, they came off looking like complete idiots. They just had a really, really ignominious downfall, and I don't take them seriously in any match anymore. I don't think they're going to win any match anymore. So I feel like, unfortunately for them, the tag team part of Gallus right now isn't looking too good, though. We did have Joe Coffey set up something with Rich Holland later in the evening. I think that really the story of this was more of, as Kelly brought up, sort of the character work that was going on between Breaker and Corbin during the entrance, during the match, and after the match, and how that's going to play into things. So it seems like right now it's set up to be Breaker and Corbin versus Hayes and Williams in the final, depending on what they see the stories being played out are. I just look at the other teams in the bracket, and I just don't really take any of them as serious contenders to take the classic unless they want to pull something and just try and ignite the tag team division by having someone new become, you know, a new contender emerge through this. But I still just am not sure if any of those teams in the bracket right now, aside from the two that we're talking about in Breaker and Corbin and Hayes and Williams, are really set or meant to win the Dusty Classic right now. So that aside, for me, I think that the only way they have Breaker and Corbin losing the final is if one of them, most likely Braun Breaker, gets too annoyed with the constant one-upsmanship that's you know, so cute right now in the first round, but by the final round, if he just gets too annoyed with Corbin, he might just lay him out and leave that for whoever they're facing, which, you know, I do think is going to be Hayes and Williams. And that just adds another wrinkle to their story in terms of, you know, Hayes talking about becoming the Triple Crown winner and Williams becoming a two-title trick. So it's just, there's a lot of moving parts. And I guess that's the good thing about this tournament. With the men's breakout tournament, it seemed pretty obvious, just like this one, who's going to win, but it didn't seem obvious what stories are going to come out of it. For this one, we do have stories leading into it, at least, that are able to then be fed and come out of it on the other side of the tournament once it does fully complete. And then with the other match, yeah, Hank and Tank, I don't really think anybody felt like they were going to win this match. What I did write, though, is that was about the fastest 444 of tag team action you'll see in NXT. I felt like there was no pause from the moment the bell rang between these two teams. And not to say that it was a great match or a good match, it was a fast match. And, you know, at the very end, Frazer just barely hit that Phoenix Splash on, I believe it was Hank Walker. So you get some of the teams that the crowd likes involved, but I think you're still going to have the Breaker Corbin versus Hayes Williams final. And then I think there's more story to work with for Hayes and Williams if they end up winning. And you basically have I guess Samoa Joe turn off Finn Balor after they won. So I guess you have a pre-Joe Balor thing where maybe Breaker turns on Corbin during the match instead. So that's kind of how I see this tournament, and I do like the fact that while we had the question last week about there's too many tournaments, the good thing about a tournament, and especially one like this that already has stories going into it, is that you can use that to anchor the show, you know, you know you're going to have these two matches. You know you're going to have a semifinal match. You know you're going to have a final match. So at least you have those to build around moving forward until you hit Vengeance Day in a few weeks.
All right, Tiffany Stratton on the farm. So you got pretty girl with a lot of makeup who looks like she does not – she wouldn't be the type of girl who worked on a farm. And she's being carted around and told what to do by Fallon Henley, who is a pretty girl in a lot of makeup who does not look like she would work on a farm. She just doesn't. You could have made it look like she was a farm girl here. Just putting on that shirt isn't enough because that shirt is as clean as the day is long. Fallon, they really could have done this scene a solid by having Fallon look like she works on a farm, but she doesn't. Whatever. The bigger issue here is they went back to this three times and they didn't do... I feel like if we had all made some guesses, if we had known they were going to show this three times and we have made some guesses of what we were going to see, we would have just basically gotten it all right. Like they didn't do any twist on it. There was no real, no contrition from Tiffany Stratton. It was exactly the scenes you'd think. So even though I guess it was fun to see this dynamic, I'm just surprised they did so little with it. But whatever, that's what they did, Bruce.
Yeah, I did think that at least it brought a bit of levity to a show that was otherwise serious in terms of everything and the stakes involved. It didn't seem like there were any segments that were just for comedy's sake or just for entertainment's sake, except for the repeated ones, I guess, for this. But, yeah, like you said, they could have done things to make it a little more realistic. I think that the whole gimmick, but the whole getup that she was wearing, Tiffany Stratton, I should say, was a bit much. And I know you're trying to play off the whole she doesn't understand what she's getting into thing, but it's still, you know, yeah, like you said, they could have just done things a little better. But, yeah, the more I listen to what you're saying, the more I get like, oh, maybe it wasn't worth the three shots. And I also think that there was more they could have done with their segments instead of just, oh, she's picking up horse crap. Oh, she fell, step into horse crap. Like, okay, can we do something a little more ingenious than that? Or not ingenious, but a little more clever, I guess, than that. But I'm wondering if this is going to somehow lead to these two becoming a tag team, unfortunately, because, I mean, that's what happened to Kiana James and Fallon Henley, too, right? And it just, I don't know if that's just what they do with these people, or these wrestlers, when they don't have anything for them in the singles division, because Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker right now is another example of this kind of odd couple tag team that kind of came together out of battle with each other and with people against each other. Because even if they didn't have a straight singles one-on-one match, I can't remember if they did. I know they were involved in a triple threat at least. So there's I think too much similarities right now between the storylines. And if you think about going back to Dynamite, there's a little issue there because what they're doing with the Undisputed Kingdom and Adam Cole saying that when Wardlow wins the title, he's going to give it to him. That's really similar to what they're doing with Christian Cage and Luchasaurus right now too. So there's, I think in wrestling right now, there's kind of a lack of creativity in terms of angles and stories. That nitpick aside, I'll say, yeah, Kelly, you're right. It probably wasn't worth the time that it was given, even though I do think with what was on the show, it provided some humor.
Yeah, I appreciated what it was trying to do, but it just so paint by numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have had an episode of Seinfeld, but we got an episode of According to Jim. is that remembered enough for me to have brought up? I don't know if it is. Nate, go ahead.
I'll be honest. I don't have much to add here that you guys already didn't say. Like, I feel very similarly. Like, I didn't hate the segment by any stretch, but it's quite literally exactly what I thought it was going to be. No more or segments, rather. No more, no less. And I don't know. I do. I feel like there is a lot more that they could have done here with it. Like, Tiffany kind of fighting back a little bit more or something. I expected somebody to fall into horse crap at some point, not just step in it. So, you know, there's that. But other than that, though, like it did. It just, like, I guess paint by numbers is a very good way of putting it. It just was pretty much everything that I expected to see in that. Like I said, didn't hate it, but I don't feel like it really did any favors. And the humor itself was just kind of, I mean, it's something I feel like I would have watched on Nickelodeon, you know, as a kid, you know, or Disney as a kid or something like that. So whatever, WWE wrestling humor anyway. I talked about this segment longer than I thought I was going to, so I'm going to stop now.
All right. Well, we've just talked about horse crap, so let's transition to Nikita Lyons versus Blair Davenport. 5:25, this is your opener. Nikita Lyons lost a match. She had not done that, and I don't think. And I'm a little surprised. It probably means that she'll win the feud, but they had her eat a pin. And I'm appreciative that they have stopped this unbelievable hype train that just does not seem like it's backed up by the work going into it. At a time where she is, you know, becoming more mistake-free anyway. Like, she's not flashy, she's not great, she's not fast, but she's mistake-free, and that wasn't always true. It is the babiest of steps. It is a speed of improvement that they would not have allowed just anyone. People have been kicked to the curb for being even faster than this. As far as improvement, but whatever. It seems like this will probably continue, if not right away. Nikita could still win this Battle Royal next week, so yeah, I got a Battle Royal to... I don't mind watching Battle Royals, but recapping them is hell. It is absolute hell. It is very difficult to do. And to be sure you got everybody, because you probably don't. But anyway... That was our opener. Surprised that opened, and it just got 5:25, didn't even go to commercial. It was just kind of a quickie opener, which they don't do often. It's not something they never do, but they don't do it often. Nate, on this opener.
Oh, man, this opener. So what my favorite thing is we start the show, and we see Nikita Lyons walking through the parking lot, and, you know, she's dressed in, well, I wouldn't say street clothes, but I'm going to call them street clothes. You know, with her, you know, suitcase in tow, and Blair Davenport comes out from behind and attacks her, right? And Blair Davenport's also in street clothes, and they start fighting. And, like, you know, there's a little thing in the bottom of the screen that was like, you know, moments ago or something like that. And then we cut to the arena where the match is supposed to start, but, like, as I think it was Nikita Lyons' music hits, the two of them, Nikita and Davenport, they just start fighting down the ramp. Now, they're both in their wrestling gear, and Vic Joseph just says something like, wow, they've been going at it for 15 minutes. And it's like, well, they've been going for 15 minutes, but they found time to change, guys. They found time to change. I thought that was just kind of hilarious, a little nitpicky, but, like, you know, it's very obvious that, like, they took some time to stop fighting and, you know, put on their gear. Yeah, I'm also glad that Nikita Lyons lost, but also kind of surprised that she ate a clean, like a clean pin here. Happy that they gave it to Davenport. I mean, I guess if you consider that an accolade or a feat, considering that I think you're right, Nikita Lyons hasn't had a singles defeat on TV. We could be wrong without looking it up, but I think that's accurate. Yeah, you know, but I even said it to these guys earlier in our three-way Twitter chat, that, you know, yeah, Nikita Lyons, if she lost now, she's probably going to win the war. So there's that, which also then means that Blair Davenport will probably wind up losing like her umpteenth straight feud in a row. I kind of hope that they at least build her strong if they do wind up putting Nikita over at the end of the feud, because Blair Davenport is such a great talent. She's great at putting people over, but I really feel like she could have an awesome dominant heel run as a champion, and it would be amazing TV. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Was there another match that we were throwing at, or was it just that one for right now?
Just the opener here.
Okay, then there we go.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, so mistake free. I mean, that depends on what you want to say about that vertical suplex that looks more like a DDT and that German suplex, which still doesn't know how to lift people up on. But
that glazed over a bit, yes.
So that aside, yeah, she is becoming more mistake free, but her offense is still not very believable to me when she throws strikes and kicks. It seems like she's trying to – it seems like she wants to throw them, but then she gets hesitant and doesn't want to lay it in too much. But you got to do something, because right now I'm just not buying it. Davenport – so – the only hope I have that this might be the end of their feud is that Lyra Valkyria in her promo segment later said that I know Blair Davenport is not going anywhere. She's going to be all around. She's always going to be, you know, here for me in 2024 or something like that. Maybe that signifies that the Battle Royal is where their feud will end. Right, maybe she eliminates Blair Davenport and it goes from there, and then Nikita Lyons ends up winning the Battle Royal, unfortunately. But again, I hope they don't go on to have another match, because I do think that I don't want to see this drag out for another couple of weeks until Vengeance Day, because Blair Davenport, like Nate said, cannot lose another loss in a feud, and even when she became number one contender, it was through the Iron Survivor Challenge. But Davenport hasn't yet become the number one contender by just winning matches, match after match after match, singles match after match after match, and then establishing herself that way. So next week is the perfect opportunity to have somebody who you don't think is ready for the title shot yet. They could be the OTM spot, basically, from tonight. Whether that's a Kalani Jordan, whether that's a Kiana James, whether that's an Izzy Dame, whether that's a Jada Parker or Nikita Lyons, I feel like whoever wins next week is definitely not going to take the title from Lyra Valkyria, and it's a good spot to both end feuds like this one and begin new ones, as most battle royals and the Royal Rumble end up doing. So we're right into Royal Rumble season anyway, so why not kind of get a pre-Royal Rumble going with all the stories you can have coming out of next week's Battle Royal.
You can call us at 515-605-9345. I was going to go to an email from Brian Alston, but I think there's a possibility we have him on the phone here. But we certainly have someone on the phone. So let me go to 623. And state who you are and where you're calling from.
Sure, my name is Bruce, and I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona. How are you?
Oh, it's Bruce this time from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm doing quite well, Bruce. How are you?
I am doing quite well, as you are as well. I would like to bring up actually two things. The first thing I would like to bring up is that I just walked in and NXT is on now, so with the West Coast feed, I just saw Nikita Lyons lose to Blair Davenport. And I've listened to this is really my first time calling your show, but I've listened maybe for a couple weeks now, and I'm getting used to your program. But the three of yourselves, I'm not sure if your co-hosts are with you, but the three of yourselves have not been really pleased with Nikita Lyons and her progress. And the one thing I'll say is that I know the three of you don't know me, but I do martial arts. I've been doing it for quite a while now. And while she might not be the greatest wrestler, I will say that her kicks do look really educated. So her technique is actually pretty good, but translating it to the wrestling ring and with her her statue, it's going to be interesting to see about what happens with her in her career, how long does she actually last. That's more of a, not a question, but more of a point. The question I have is for Nate. I was listening a little bit earlier today, and Nate brought up a really good point about Obafemi and him going for the North American Championship. Nice spoiler, by the way, Nate, because I haven't watched it yet. But I thought about it like this, Nate, as you were saying. I thought you made some really good points, and I tend to agree with you. To, you know, why go for the big belt, the NXT Championship, rather than going for the North American Championship, like you, Nate, and like the two of yourselves as well. I'm a huge North American title fan, but if you think about it like this, and I was kind of thinking about, I hate to say Keith Lee, but I'll say his name, Keith Lee, is that remember Keith Lee won the NA title first, and then he won the actual NXT championship. And so let's take Obafemi thinking, okay, I'm kind of a rookie, and, you know, let me get my shot in. Let me get this North American championship while I have a chance to get it, and I think I can beat Dragon Lee. And now the three of yourselves might remember this, but back, you know, 70s, 80s, maybe even early 90s, that the U.S. NWA championship and then the Intercontinental championship and WWE championship, they were like the number one contenders. And it was always stated like that. They were the number one contenders to the U.S. and Intercontinental championship, to the big belts, I should say. So if I look at it like this, again, the problem that WWE isn't going to do is tell that kind of story or have Obafemi tell that kind of story that I went for this while I had a chance to go for it. And, you know, this puts me in line to when I want to call my shot for the NXT championship. So, again, Nate, I like what you said, and I agree with you, but I take it that way. And, again, unfortunately, WWE is not going to tell that story. So other than that, I'll hang on and listen. And I understand that Brian from Phoenix actually sent you an email, so I'll listen to that email as well. And I hope all three of yourselves have a really good night. Always good talking to the three of yourselves.
Thank you, Bruce.
Always working. Always working.
Yes, I know it. I love it. I will say on Nikita only, like, I don't know that I've taken issue with the technique on her kicks. Mm-hmm. Really only the speed. That could mean that she knows what she can do with those kicks, so she holds back. I don't know for sure that that's what's happening. But I will say that it has looked to me like she holds back often.
Not that I know a whole lot about martial arts, but there's been a few times where just, you know, on my YouTube shorts feed, because I become a mindless drone and just watch those every once in a while. I see like some of her workout videos where she's just, you know, like Instagram type, you know, working out, whatever. She can throw a kick. So that's probably it.
All right, and you know what? While we're here, let's go to Bruce's city mate, Brian, and go to his email. Brian from Phoenix, 32-year senior Torch VIP subscriber. Hello, Nate, Doc, Bruce, and Kelly. Regarding reading Doc Bruce's recap, no Boa and Dante Chen sighting? They haven't been seen in a few weeks, but everyone can't be shown every week.
Yeah, I kind of forgot they were doing it.
Why aren't they in the tournament? Now that both 2023 NXT breakout tournaments are over, I want to flash back to the 2019 men's tourney. Picture of the bracket is attached. The winner, Jordan Miles, a.k.a. ACH, received an NXT title match, losing to Adam Cole. He left WWE 2 months later. For the rest of the competitors, oh, man, that was a tough episode of PWT Talks NXT.
That was my second episode of PWT Talks NXT.
Oh, my God.
Remember that. Yes.
For the rest of the competitors, 6 of 7 are still with WWE. 5 are on the main roster. 4.5 years later, those are good statistics. But no main roster championships. Here are their current WWE whereabouts and titles held. Dexter Lumis, Raw, question mark. No championships. Bronson Reed, Raw, North American. Isaiah Swerve Scott, MIA. Yes, he's an AEW, North American. Cameron Grimes, SmackDown. He has won the North American and Million Dollar Belts. Angel Garza, SmackDown, won the Cruiserweight Championship. Joaquin Wilde, SmackDown slash NXT, no championships. Boa, NXT, no championships. Question, was the initial breakout tournament a success? I'll just go ahead and say yes here. Which 2019 breakout wrestler would you book to win the 2025 Royal Rumble and challenge for the WWE Championship in the main event of WrestleMania 41? Note that you have a year to build them up. I mean, Swerve's probably my favorite wrestler. It really bugs me that he's not in this company. I love Cameron Grimes. I will probably be at WrestleMania 41 because it will probably be in Minneapolis. Of those who are in the company, I think Bronson Reed, just because I can see what can be done with him when you really, really give him that level of push. Because I saw it in New Japan. Brian continues. Don't forget to listen Saturdays to the exclusive Torch VIP podcast. NXT 8 years back, Kelly and Tom Stout discussed the January 13th, 2016 edition of NXT, a women's battle royal featuring the debut of a longtime woman who was a future champion. Unfortunately, there will not be a movie question. Fortunately, there is a different showbiz question. Oh, for fun. Thanks, Brian Alston. Yes, I have not seen the question yet. So, I got a battle royal to cover for tomorrow morning's podcast. Thankfully, I don't actually have to recap
though.
And then he's got the full, Jordan Miles beat Cameron Grimes in the finals of that tournament, which I actually did remember. Anything on this email, Bruce?
Not too much. I do want to add something to the discussion on why Obafemi would go for this title instead of holding on to it. So in prize fighting, in professional wrestling, we've always been told that you get more money when you have the title. So why not go for the title you see that you can grasp immediately than one where we don't even know if the champion's on, when he's coming back, let alone when he can defend the title. So with that being said, I feel like Obafemi here, I don't blame him for doing this. I think it was a good call by him to go ahead and take that title because it says, you know, they've been vague about this in the past, but with Roxanne Perez using that contract to get the Women's Tag Team Championship match, we definitely know that it can be for any title. And I mean, they even teased that with the Royal Rumble a couple of years ago or a year or two ago, I feel like. Or they did it with Charlotte going for the NXT Championship too. So they're always ambiguous about this, but it's to a point, and they bring up the ambiguity when it's something like this, right? So that it's always in the back of your mind in the future that it's not always going to be for the main title. And look, as much as we love Femi, he's definitely not ready to be a world champion right now in terms of the in-ring stuff, right? So let him be the North American champion, a title that has traditionally been the workhorse title in NXT, which is, you know, weird to say for a show that's usually been mainly people that can go for a long time. So even this, the whole Lexus King title match came out of the fact that Dragon Lee's been holding open challenges, and that was what Wes Lee had been doing for a while too. So this title is one where you can have matches, and whether you could have squash matches, you could have longer matches, you could have matches in between. I feel like it's a perfect spot for Obafemi, and again, you get him to be in a prominent position right away and let us know this guy didn't just win the breakout tournament, but he's someone who is going to make a huge impact, not just in 2024, but in the future, not just in NXT, but in WWE.
And a wrestler who is fearsome, like that's the whole gimmick, can really elevate a championship in the same way.
Much more believable than someone like Baron Corbin or any one of that kind of stature that he is.
Yeah, the championship is there to elevate workers at times, but he can elevate that championship too, because, you know, guys are going to want to be champion, but they're not going to want to face Obafemi to do it. So yeah, that can be a fun little story as well. Nate, anything on this email?
Yeah, so I go back just quickly touch on our caller Bruce's comments to me about the title and stuff. The breakout tournament, whatever. I'm totally fine with him going for the NXT title. Like, I don't want it to think like anybody to think that like I'm not for that or whatever. It's just like he's, you know, like Bruce was just saying, kind of like in prize fighting, it's just like you want to go for the big fight. You want to go for the big title. It's the one that gets you the money and the fame and all of that. So like, I don't know, in my head, like that was just kind of like my immediate thought and like whatever.
Well, any title.
Yeah. Yeah. But still, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like, and if it was me anyway, I'd be like, I'm going for the big one. But I don't know. Anyway, on this email though, I guess I don't really have a whole heck of a lot to add. What 2019 breakout wrestler to book this year or the 2025 Rumble? It's got to be Boa. I mean, why wouldn't it be? But in all seriousness though, I would love to see Cameron Grimes like actually do something worthwhile. I just feel like ever since going up the main roster, like I forget he's part of the company. He really hasn't done much of note. And there's a lot of talent there. So I'd love to see them do something awesome with Cameron Grimes.
Yeah. And there's a lot of work to do there because I'm not totally surprised that To the Moon didn't get over on the roster.
Yeah, me either.
I mean, that kind of only works because you know the character that he sprang up from. Like, he was the redneck, like, living in a trailer who was suddenly rich. Like, that's why he worked
poker
out.
Poker tournament, baby. Two cuts in his hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they really had to tell the story over again on the main
game
roster.
Stop.
I can't. You're right.
Yeah, GameStop stock.
Okay, let's
Stonks.
Go to an email from Azan White. Hello, NXT gang. Number one, did Brinley Reese play a part in JC Jane's plan to save Chase U, or was she just playing Simon Dean's old gimmick from 19 years ago? Number two, what could be great names for new tag teams such as Axiom and Nathan and Braun and Baron? Three, what do you expect from Lexus King, Josh Briggs, and Lodevice in 2024 as they can hold down the show when call-ups happen? From Azan in St. Louis. As far as them holding down the show, Lodevice is interesting. Like, she's getting pushed, but I always forget that she exists when she's not on screen. I don't know why this is, but she does not stick in my mind for whatever reason. And I forget that she's like not only there, but has a championship match when she wants it. And like has an honest to goodness storyline going on and will probably be in a wacky tag pretty soon. Did they announce that? Maybe they did. Against Paxley and Valkyria. So it'll be interesting. She's, I think, got a long way to go, despite being a crowd favorite. Lexus King, we're already seeing some important strides being made. I'm glad that they resisted the urge to give him too much too soon. I think that he would be a flop right now as a major champion, but they're trending in the right way. Briggs, I think, can be really exciting. I mean, since we're here, he beat Oro Mensah today, 3:26. Metaphor was mocking the old faction that split up Fallon Henley, Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs. And here on an episode where Fallon Henley got three segments, Josh got a win, and Brooks was Sir not appearing in this film. I don't know how much to expect Jensen to be around. I don't know. like a guy, they made a comedy guy who doesn't have anybody to play his comedy off of. Very strange. But I don't know. I think that Briggs could be one of the next really big things in NXT, which is weird to say about somebody who's been there a long time, but he can. Axiom and Nathan Fraser, team name, something about being fast and something about being math because of something about fast math. Not fast math, but something that evokes fast math. Mental math. There you go. Mental mental math. That's their tag team name. That's a first draft. We'll come back to that. Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin. Yeah, there's got to be something there. I mean, Brutes is already taken, so you can't take that. Brawling is already taken, so you can't take that. Taken by the same guys. So yeah, I'll see if these guys have anything. Nate.
I think for a tag team name for Axiom and Nathan Frazier, agile algorithms, the only thing I could come up with that's like alliterative, describes both of them, and there's math involved. I think it needs work, but I think there's something there. Trying to find the email. There we go. Here we find it. Braun and Baron, though. I got to think about that one a little bit more because something to do with dogs and breaking. Because wasn't it Baron Corbin that fed Roman Reigns dog food?
Yes.
Yeah, there needs to be. And Bron Breakker is a dog, I think, or at least he thinks he's one. So, yeah, something about dog food. That'd be a good name. Now I'm going to stop just trying to figure out tag team names. I'm terrible at coming up with names. Awful. Lexus King, I think Lexus King, he's – I don't think we're going to see him hit NXT, like, title level in NXT. I almost, like – I feel like he's almost going to be like a Roddy Piper or something. Like, you know, he's going to be somebody that – people like and is probably a prominent character on TV, but may never win the big one. Or you know, if he does, you know, maybe it's going to be like more of like a Miz type of a reign where it's, you know, just a quick couple of reigns here and there just to say he's been champion. But that's kind of what I expect from Lexus King. Well, maybe not. I should have finished reading the sentence. He meant in 2024. I was thinking in general. In 2024, though, I think we'll probably see Lexus King probably end up challenging for the title at least one more time. Maybe get some gold around his waist here, you know, with maybe a North American title run or something. Josh Briggs, though, I'm with Kelly here. I think he's going to be something big in 2024. I've said it for years now, or at least a year and a half, 2 years. You know, Josh Briggs is being held back by Brooks Jensen, and I think now that he's going to have a chance to kind of, you know, break out, break free from that tag team, and kind of do his thing a little bit more. I'm hoping he's got some time to shine here, and he will kind of, you know, break out as like a, you know, a big man baby face, or, you know, maybe we've got a heel turn coming in the future here. I'd like to actually see what he could do as a heel. I don't know if he's, you know, I never seen him work as a heel before. I don't know if he did in Evolve or not. But I'd like to see what he could do as a heel. You know, not saying we should do that anytime soon, but if they did want to try that with him, I think I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world. And I'm with Kelly also with Lola Vice. I don't think about Lola Vice until she's actually on the screen. I think because she hasn't really been in many prominent angles yet other than the breakout tournament. Excuse me. So I think they probably see, you know, some great things out of her as well, obviously giving her the breakout tournament contract and things. But, But yeah, I don't think we're going to see her win the women's title or anything. And as far as Brinley Rhys goes with playing Simon Dean's old gimmick from 19 years ago, yeah, probably. Maybe something a little bit certainly upbeat, positive. I actually just immediately when I first saw that, I thought it was Thea Hale for a second, you know, blonde,
me too.
Up, like upbeat energy, you know, and then it was like, oh, that's not, you know. So if anything, I think she's already gimmick infringing on Thea Hale.
And I'll complete the trifecta. I thought briefly that I was seeing her as well. How about Axiom and Nathan Fraser are Chaos Theory? How's that?
I like that.
I think that's my official hat in the ring name there. Bruce on this email.
Yeah, so the good thing, the only thing I remember, or I guess that's the only thing I'll say, the positive thing I remember about the Simon System and Simon Dean is that he was Bobby Lashley's debut feud, and that was the moment. The moment Lashley debuted is when I was like, yep, I'm a Lashley fan. So that's what I remember about Simon Dean and the Simon System mostly, is that it was the avenue to which Bobby Lashley made his WWE debut. I will say that I'm not optimistic about Brinley Rhys's character. I'll put it that way. When it comes to Lexus King, I do like that they resisted the urge and they gave him some time to get rid of those early jitters, and he slowly and gradually developed. And we saw it tonight again, not a thunderously great match, but it was a solid match. There didn't really seem to be any mistakes. The one clunky spot where he went for the dive through the ropes, it was intentionally clunky because he held himself up because he saw Trey Bearhill right outside. I mean, I think when it comes to some of the little things he's showing me, I think I didn't give him enough credit for in the past, but I think now that he's comfortable, it's getting there. You know, being at the PC all the time definitely has to be, you know, help in terms of the development that you have both in the ring and on the mic. So I do like that. When it comes to Josh Briggs, I've said it for months and months and months, if not longer than that, a year or longer, that this guy was a singles champion, he should be fine. He's going to be good once he breaks away from the other two. And, you know, the match today, he has one hell of a clothesline. I can see why JBL gave him that that endorsement, and they're really trying. I think the more and more he gets victories, they're going to really play into that relationship with JBL. And I wouldn't be surprised if JBL ends up becoming sort of a manager or a mentor to Josh Briggs in the future, even in 2024, maybe, as we move forward. Not to say I want that to happen, but I can see that happening. As far as tag team names, with Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin, I have two. And one is I guess they're both crowd chants, but one is just assholes, because that's what they are. And then two, I don't like this one, but it's what the crowd is chanting, was Spear of Days. Combining their yeah, exactly. That's what they always do. It's not.
You know, you put two things together, they still have to work together to be good. And that doesn't.
Mm-mm.
Let's call him Baron Breaker. Baron Breaker. Sounds like a, yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'm not someone that needs to have tag teams have names, but I do get why and understand the appeal, and it's much easier in terms of memory and merchandise and all that. But especially if it's just a makeshift team that's not going to last, they don't need no name. Like Enofe and Blade, I've been together how long? We just call them Enofe and Blade still? Like, come on.
Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker, my official name, Breakin' Corker. First names and both last names together, Breakin' Corker, folks. That's what I got for you. This email's from Kevin Catani. Salutations, gents. I hope this email finds you well. What an ending to the show, eh? Personally, I'm not sure that Femi is ready for a sustained run, but I've been wondering when
they get out of here.
Yep. Yeah, I almost didn't finish this sentence or the show. I almost just canceled the show. But I've been wondering when they'd get the title off Lee so he can go back to the main roster. I'm ready to give Femi a chance, as I think he can right a lot of the wrongs that happened with Omos. What do you all think Femi's ceiling is? I don't know. Super Jesus. I think his ceiling is very, very high. I think his basement is relatively low as well.
His ceiling needs to be high, so.
Yeah, I think that we have to be okay if his career is like a Kane / Big Show career where he visits the main event, but he's mostly the unbeatable guy that a lot of people beat. Because those are extremely valuable, and those guys have long careers. And if that's what it is, we have to be okay with it. But I hope they try something more with him before that happens. And he says, lastly, why is the Dusty Tournament Fraser and Axioms to lose? They'll definitely lose.
Yeah.
You know, they have more of a chance of going to the finals than whoever faces Trick and Mello in the second round. Because we were talking about, like, Trick and Mello. How are they going to keep dragging this out for three more months? Tournament. Tournament ties them up for a month. So that's what they're doing with them. So they're definitely going to the finals. Win or lose, they are getting to those finals for sure. And, you know, you can have Trick and Mello win the tournament and then lose the championship match.
Yep.
And then you still have your cake and eat it, too, because they get to win the tournament and not win when it's time to face the family. Fraser and Axiom, I think, they have a non-zero chance. But, you know, I love that I don't know absolutely for sure which of a few different teams will win the tournament, because that was not our situation with the breakout tournament. Anything I didn't cover there, Bruce?
So when it comes to the tournament, now what you were talking about Boa and Dante Ten earlier, don't be surprised if they attack one of these teams next week and take their spot, even though we just saw that with Lexus King and Trey Bearhill. In regards to Obafemi, this man's a Nigerian god. Let's get that out of the way. He has a very high ceiling just because I feel like his presentation, his style, his power offense, and his charisma, we just don't really have that right now. It's just so unique to him, especially in NXT, that, I mean, the crowd just when he comes out there, you can see every eye is locked onto him, and they're just eating up everything he does. And I feel like, you know, we don't know about attitude issues. We don't know about training. We don't know about dedication and all that. But let's say that he is just average at best. He could have a splendid career just based off of his size, his skill, his athleticism, his charisma, and his power. And he's actually pretty quick for a guy that big. So he has a really good package for a professional wrestler to have not just a long career, but one that we would term successful. And when you think about championships and moments and pay-per-views or PLEs, as we call them now. And I feel like, yes, there are a lot of – the men's division is pretty deep, but I just feel like there's no one quite like Obafemi right now, and that is always going to give him an advantage in terms of his career. So when it comes to Fraser and Axiom, they're a feel-good tag team going back to their 2 out of 3 falls feud last year before the Iron Survivor Challenge, and then they went back to the match a couple weeks ago, and now they're together as a tag team. So we have this long-running story with them, this relationship, and we know they're friends and their styles really mesh well. I like the added touch tonight of, you know, they mesh. I don't like when they always mesh the music together, but I like that they had the slow-mo for both of them and not just Axiom, or not the slow-mo, but kind of the time lapse. I don't know what to call it, whatever they do with Axiom's entrance. So I did like that. They are, to me, I guess the third most likely team to win out of the teams involved, looking at who's left with LWO and Chase U. But I still feel like it's going to be either Breaker Corbin or Hayes Williams. I do think I'm leaning towards Hayes Williams because of that story. And with Breaker and Korg, I just feel like that breakup is going to happen, or something's going to happen in that final where they do end up with a feud against each other. Now, it's interesting you bring up how can we extend this 3 months with Melo and Trick? That email last week of, is this gone on too long? And, we said one bad week doesn't negate everything that's going on. Yeah, one bad week, but let's see what happens. And look, they found a perfect avenue to extend that story and have many different paths that they can come off and still get to the destination they want of Trick versus – or Melo versus Trick at Stand and Deliver, right? So to me, I think what really sold this was Trick being so hesitant at first because, one, he said, don't come out during my match last week, and Hayes came out and he brought that up. And then he said, I need to focus on my match with Dragunov. And Hayes saying, look, I know what you need to focus on. It's staying in the ring. You don't know when he's going to come back. And then, when he brought up, I'm going to be a Triple Crown, you're going to be Trick two titles or two title Trick or whatever. Then he finally is like, okay, let's do this, right? So I like that it took some actual bit of convincing from Melo to Trick, and Trick bringing up all the things of why he if he didn't want to go in the tournament, why he had those justifications. I like that interaction between the two. And again, that just leaves you so much to do with these two coming out of the tournament.
Nate, did I throw to you?
No.
Go for it.
All right, cool. So on Kevin's email here, I feel like we've talked Obafemi up so much tonight, so I don't really have a whole lot to add there about Obafemi. I think as far as like his ceiling goes, though, like, Kelly said earlier, like a Big Show Kane type of thing, that probably is where we'll wind up seeing him, unless he winds up, like he's super charismatic, he gets himself over, and he's, able to become, like a main event level player. I kind of see, that like big man gatekeeper type of a character. We were talking about the Dustin tournament, Frazier and Axiom. Why do we think Frazier and Axiom to lose? I don't know. I'm with you guys on this. I think we're going to wind up seeing Breaker, Corbin, Melo, and Trick in the finals. I think it really makes the most sense. Because you've got the big, strong, like tough guys in Braun and Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin, and we've had this feud, story between Melo and Trick for so long now. The great way, like you guys said, great way to extend everything and kind of get us to Stand and Deliver. So, I think that's going to do it for me on the email.
All right. There was just a little bit more stuff on the show. Tony D and Stacks defended the championships against Out the Mud. 11:47, still champions, D'Angelo and Stacks. Which I feel like was kind of given away by the fact that Adriana Rizzo just got a name and she was here for the match. If they had lost the first time out there, what do you do with her? So she indeed was the glue that held it all together. They won that. And a little bit afterwards, we got OTM crestfallen. Is crestfallen a word you use for guys that badass? I don't think it probably is. But, they lost. They're sad about it. And they run into Jada Parker out and back. I really enjoyed her brief appearance in the women's breakout tournament, which seems like a long time ago because it is the third most recent tournament that this company has done, that this show has done. And she said, Jada Parker's your missing piece. I dig it. I wanted her to be on TV anyway. I didn't know how they were going to fit her in, and this seems like an interesting place to put her. And what is that dynamic between her and Scripps? I think that this could be interesting in quite a few different ways. Gigi Dolin lost to Cora Jade in 4:05. that was a match that I definitely saw and took many notes on. Just don't ask me what any of them were. Gallus broke down, and they ran into Ridge Holland. Ridge Holland apparently going to feud with Gallus, and oh my God, this feud sounds like it'll be a bit of a black hole. Because there's just a whole lot of nothing going on with any of those guys. That is the rest of the show. So anything on that, Nate?
Let's see. You know, Tony D, Stax, OTM, I think that was a great match. I think it was absolutely, I think it was probably the best match for OTM so far, to be honest with you. And I think...
It was right up there for D and Stax too.
I actually liked
the match that well.
I was going to say that, like, you know, props to them too. Cause like, you know, Tony D, like we've given him a lot of crap over the past year or so, you know, he just kind of being a generic type wrestler, but I feel like he's tried to switch things up a little bit and kind of lay things in a little bit more. So I've got to give him credit there. And Stax, I feel like every time Stax is in the ring, he impresses me more and more. He's certainly the workhorse between the two of them, which, you know, I got to say, like when the group first formed, even back when Two Dimes was still there, did not necessarily see that coming. I'll be honest. I thought we were going to see OTM get a victory here. Once you just brought up the fact that, you know, they had Adriana Rizzo finally named with them, I'm like, yeah, you know what, that makes sense. A little bit of foreshadowing. I was thinking it was going to be OTM. The reason being, the you know, newer team. It seems like they're strapping rockets to them. And, you know, everything going that's kind of happened with the family, with Tony D and Stax, I don't think it's necessarily been played out, but it's been going on for a long time. Sure, this is their second run as champions, but it feels like they've been in the champion picture, like they've been, you know, the champion for a while. So, you know, considering they only lost the titles for what, it's like a month or whatever it was. So I don't know. I felt like it might've been fresh to give OTM the titles is kind of what I'm saying. But that said, I like the direction that it's going here. The fact that they picked up Jada Parker, is part of their faction as well. So, you know, it seems, I think that's going to be a great addition, especially now, you know, because we just added Adriana Rizzo, as we just said. So it kind of adds that extra, you know, extra person into the mix, you know, on either side. Intergender war games, who knows? It's not the time of the year for that, but just saying. What else? There was a few other segments. The Cora Jade Gigi Dolan match, I got nothing to really say on. And I can't remember, there was another segment too. I don't remember what you said.
No, Jada Parker joining OTM.
Okay, so that was it then.
And I will tell you, the one other thing I missed was the NXT Anonymous scene showing Chase U, and JC has a plan. I was all ready to say there is no plan for NXT Anonymous, that this is just going to go on for a while, then it's going to go away like GTV did all those many years ago when Goldust, they changed plans with Goldust, changed it from GDTV to GTV, and then just scrapped it all together. But there is a techie character out there who got injured very shortly after her debut. Let me throw to suggest to you that NXT Anonymous could be setting the stage for the return of Stevie Turner. Bruce. I guess I don't have to throw to Bruce.
Bruce?
Bruce?
Sorry.
Did you just pull a Nate?
Did. Yes,
wow.
I did. I wanted to make sure none of the cars driving by made a noise. But my only question to that is, did those NXT Anonymous things begin before she tore her ACL or after? Because I honestly have no concept of the timing of when her injury happened and whatnot.
Yeah,
whether or not
like
that was the plan at the time or not, still suggest to you that that's the plan. Now they can retcon that easily enough.
And I guess my biggest issue with this scene is like, none of y'all seen that person with the door that open recording y'all? Like, okay, it was all right. So that aside, going to some of these other segments, really nothing on Jaden Dolan other than any hope of Gigi Dolan getting some kind of babyface push, definitely quashed if they weren't already. And Cora Jade calling her double arm DDT jaded is definitely how you know that Jade Cargill is not going to be in NXT. For the OTM match with the family, yeah, definitely the best match for both these teams. The thing with the family, as you were bringing up, Nate, yeah, they've had it for a while, but they've only defended it maybe 3 or 4 times in that whole time because they're just in these backstage segments. They're doing these restaurant scenes. There's a battle royal going on, but they're not involved. They just haven't really defended the title. And I didn't think that OTM would win here. I said last week, it's a good match for them to gain some notoriety, to show their development, and then to put over the family. And that's exactly what happened, though. I do think that when it comes to Tony D'Angelo, and I've said this going back, the times that I am most interested in him in the ring is when he incorporates his amateur wrestling background. And tonight, that was when he was throwing around, I think, Lucien Press overhead, belly to belly, like he was nothing, right? Like, that's what I was most interested in his in-ring work, and I wish he would do more of that, incorporate more of his amateur background, because even if you are playing this Don, like, there's ways you can make the amateur wrestling background and the moves you do with that look very, very heelish and mean. Just think of ECW Kurt Angle or Perk Angle, any of that stuff, right? He really, really did things to make that aggression come through, even just on things like a simple takedown or a gator or anything like that. So that's what I will urge for Tony D'Angelo to do moving forward in terms of what he does in the ring. Thing I forgot to mention earlier when discussing Josh Briggs and Otto Mensa is that on Mensa's tight or his tights across the waistband, it literally just said waistband across it. And I tell you, I was cackling so much when I saw that because, again, their name is Metaphor. They have Meta, and it's just, I don't know. It just got me really good, and I laughed a lot. So, and then the whole Coffey Joe Holland thing. The one thing that got me about this was Joe Coffey told him, "Look, you were in the brawl. You were a brawling brute, and now you're back in NXT." And I'm thinking, like, aren't you denigrating yourself then? Because didn't y'all get some time up there, and now you're back on NXT? And even then, even if you weren't, aren't you saying that you're minor leagues compared to where he was? Whatever. Jada Parker, I think, gonna be fantastic with OTM. She looked very comfortable and confident in this role. I liked what we saw in that one match in the breakout tournament, and I feel like this is gonna be WWE is becoming a lot more comfortable with having these intergender factions, not just with Judgment Day, but I know there's been some recently that I can't really remember right now. But it's not just WWE; more wrestling companies are becoming comfortable with having these intergender factions, and I think it works. And like you said, Kelly, the biggest, I guess, dynamic to see here is between Jada Parker and Scripps as to who's going to end up being the leader, because she came to them with a plan, and if the plan works out, are Price and Nima then going to lean more toward her than who they said is their homie in Scripts? I'm not sure where that goes, and that leaves me interested in what this means for them as a group. So all in all, I think this is one of the better NXT shows, a non-themed NXT shows we've had in a while. And I think having the tournament there to anchor the matches really does help, but there was a lot of storytelling involved, a lot of building toward not just Vengeance Day, but toward a few months out and Stand and Deliver.
All right, folks. I do believe that is our show. I'm Kelly Wells. You can find me on social media at Spooky Milk or at SpookyMilk.games. Bruce.
I'm Bruce Lee Hazelwood. You can find me at @B_Lee253 and my report for tonight's show up at the Torch and the VIP side.
Nate.
Nate Lindberg. You can find me and all the things I do at NateLindberg.com.
All right, folks. That is it, and we will see you in 7. Cheers.